The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of Jesus' work, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That's why these miraculous powers are at work within him. But others said he is Elijah, and others said he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and said, and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oath and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of our Lord. You see it. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that gospel text would have gone well a couple of weeks ago when we had the text, the fifth commandment, you should not kill. Working on the sermon this week, it's probably something of mystery how we would work the beheading of John the Baptist into the seventh commandment, you shall not steal. But you know, it's there. It is there. You know, finally after 6 weeks of hearing all these commandments, we get to the seventh commandment, the commandment you shall not steal. And we finally have a commandment in front of us that we probably should feel pretty good about, the fact that we might have a chance of keeping this one. Up until now, there hasn't been much hope of us keeping the commandments. But the seventh commandment, we should be able to meet it with some success. Yeah, let's face it, like the conversation with the kids. We all know right from wrong. We all know that if something doesn't belong to us, we shouldn't take it. You know, from the time that we're young, we are taught, you know, not to take what's not ours. Don't touch. Keep your hands to yourself. All these things that our parents told us as we were coming up. You know, as children, we're taught that also sharing is caring. We should gladly share the things that we have, the things that God has blessed us with. We should gladly share those with our neighbor. You know, keeping the seventh commandment, we know these things, so keeping the seventh commandment really should be a piece of cake, right? We should be able to do this. After all, I'm looking at all you folks out here, you're looking at me, and I don't think any of us would look at our neighbor and say, that one's a thief. None of us here are thieves. So the commandment to not steal should be something that we could address with a certain amount of confidence. So why does God even have to issue a commandment against stealing in the first place? Well, for the same reason he gave us the fifth commandment. Because we're sinners. Because we are sinners, God gives us the seventh commandment because he knows that we will face temptation. And he knows that when temptation becomes great, we're liable to stray from what he would have us do. The purpose of this commandment isn't simply a prohibition against stealing. Its focus is also to protect the life and the livelihood of our neighbor. Just as we found a couple of weeks ago that we have all done harm to our neighbor, we've all broken that fifth commandment, the prohibition against stealing or against killing. We have also, from one time or another, taken something that doesn't belong to us. You know, when it comes to loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, stealing becomes a very serious matter. We learned that breaking the commandment against killing violates the sanctity of life. You know, in the same way, stealing violates the sanctity of how we live that life in relationship to God and how we live in relationship to one another. Everyone knows and understands that taking somebody's property without permission, taking somebody's property for our own, is stealing. We know that. But the truth is, we steal from one another every single day. Most of the time, we don't even realize it. You know, our age-old adversary, as Luther would put it, our age-old adversary, our age-old rebellion, the devil and all of the demons that assist him in leading God's people astray, they continually attack us from all sides. Whether we realize it or not, every waking moment we are facing temptation. The temptation to steal is ever present. It never goes away. And when we think we can resist on our own, that's when the devil uses the trap. Greater temptation comes our way. That's his favorite trick, filling us with confidence in ourselves, thinking that we can resist his temptations. In Exodus 20:15, God says, "You shall not steal." In his small catechism, Martin Luther explains the commandment in this way. We are to fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or property or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his property and his means of making a living. All of a sudden, do not steal takes on a whole lot more weight. When we think of stealing, we almost always, if not always, equate stealing with theft. Stealing, however, comes in many, many other forms. When you're at work and you're getting frustrated or you're tired and you know that the hour's coming where you can take a break, so you begin to cut corners. Your work is just a little bit less, you know, of a little bit less quality. You know, when we do that, we deprive our employer of proper wage, of proper work. We earn less than what we're paid. The quality isn't quite there. The full value of the finished product becomes less. Other times, people will take credit for somebody else's work. Or debts will go unpaid. Or we'll do our best to, when we're trying to make a big purchase, we'll do our best to talk the price down to get the best price rather than pay what is fair. These and so many other instances, they're commonplace. They're commonplace, and we know how common they are because at one point or another, we have all done it. We're all guilty of this from time to time. And what's more, we break the seventh commandment. We not only steal from our neighbor, we steal from God. After all, God is the creator of all things. If God is the creator of all things, therefore it goes to reason that God is the owner of all things. God has blessed us with life. He owns our life. He's blessed us with life. He's blessed us, as we found last week, with companionship. He has blessed us with property. He's blessed us with certain gifts. He's blessed us with treasure. He's blessed us with talent. To misuse any of these things is a way for ourselves to take control of that which is not ours. When we withhold companionship, we rob our friend, our neighbor, our spouse, our parents, those whom we love. We rob them of the love that God first gave us. When we fail to use the gifts and talents, those things that we're good at, when we fail to use those to their utmost ability, we steal the fruit which God calls us to produce for His kingdom. And when we withhold our tithes, when we withhold our tithes or reduce our offerings, we steal the treasure that God has entrusted into our hands. The treasure that God has entrusted unto us so that we might do the better work of His kingdom. We do that and we try to keep more of our treasure for ourselves to control that which we feel that we need. You know, since his death a few months ago, I've been reading a lot of the work of the Reverend Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, in his many, many years of ministry, 70-some years of ministry, even longer than that probably, he has spoken out about every facet of human life. He has spoken about every aspect of Christian living. There's no stone left unturned when you start reading the works of Billy Graham. You know, Graham once stated, "I prefer to understand thou shalt not steal as God ordering us never to forget his gracious provision." What a great way of putting that. Over and over again, as we read in the Bible, we understand that God is the provider of all that we could ever possibly need. God is the provider of everything that is good, everything that is wholesome. In the most beloved psalm for most people, the 23rd Psalm, we even say in the first line, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know why we shall not want? Because God will provide everything that we need. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He won't let us go without those things that we need. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus spells it out. Jesus spells out exactly what it means for the shepherd to provide for his sheep. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own, and he leads them out. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that my sheep may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The thief comes only to kill, to steal, and destroy." The devil is the thief. He's the thief whose only mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. When we give in to temptation, when we take those things that are not our own, we fall into the trap that Satan has set for us. And he begins to rob us of our relationship of God, with God and with one another. When we take what's not ours, we succumb to the powers that kill. We rob our neighbor and ourselves. We rob our neighbors and ourselves of the confidence that we once had, that we would have life in abundance in Christ Jesus. When we steal, when we cheat, when we deal with our neighbor dishonestly, we allow Satan to to come into our life, to come in the midst of our relationship with God and one another, and destroy that relationship. Yet this commandment against stealing, drives us back to the Good Shepherd. It drives us back to the God who created everything. It drives us back to the God who provides for our every single need. That's because the Good Shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep, and in him we find forgiveness. People of God, the Ten Commandments' sole purpose is to point out the fact that we are sinful people. They point out that we are indeed sinners in need of God's grace. And even though that we have everything that we could ever need provided by our loving God, the sinner in us continues to want more. The sinner in us continues to strive for control of as much as we can get our hands on. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that Jesus came to save the world from sin. Jesus came to rescue us from that adversary we call the devil. He came to rescue us from the clutches of evil. Jesus came to earth and lived among his people so that we could have life. Life together, life in relationship with God, life in abundance. Therefore, our Father in heaven spells it out quite clearly. You shall not steal. You don't need to. What you need, God will provide. And so, according to the seventh commandment, Martin Luther teaches us, we are to fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or property or treasure or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his property and his means of making a living. This is what God would have us do. This is how God would have us live with one another, so that we can enjoy that life in abundance. So along with Martin Luther and all the people of God, we can say this is most certainly true. Amen.